worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that's in this place. We know, God, that you're filling those homes and other places of worship, God. We thank you. We thank you for your love, God, for your presence. Thank you, Jesus. Well, we thank you for joining in with us tonight, and we know that you're feeling what we're feeling right here in this room, and we pray that as the word goes forth, that you're open and you're receptive to receive what the Lord has to say. Let's just pray that right now. God, I ask that you would walk into every room, God, every home, no matter where they are. I pray, Lord, that there will be a hunger and a thirst for your presence, Lord, for your word, God, that you would satisfy them tonight. We worship you, Lord. We invite you in, God, and we're going to taste and see that you are good in your name, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to dive right into Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And this psalm here is a favorite of millions of Christians and non-believers all over the world. It is used as a popular reading during funeral services. And it's also, if you would go to a funeral service, they hand out little cards. A lot of time the picture of that individual will be on that card, the date of their birth and the day the Lord took them home. And then on the back of it, a lot of times, probably 90% time or more, they'll have the Lord is my shepherd. And though it's good as a testimony in those times, what it really is, it's full of life. If you read Psalm 23, you're going to find life. It's a journey of life between that shepherd and his sheep. I first fell in love with Psalm 23 when I was probably 8 or 10 years old. I visited my aunt and uncle's church with them. I stayed the summer. And I went to church with them in Illinois, and their pastor taught on that one Sunday morning, and the way he taught it, it was just, I could vividly just imagine and see what he was talking about. And then amazingly, several years later, the Lord brought my mom back to him, and she started attending that church, and that pastor's daughter gave her a book, and it was titled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. And I started reading that, and it ignited that love all over again for Psalm 23. So tonight I'm going to be speaking on this, and parts of this I'm going to share some of his thoughts along with this message. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. David, the author of the poem, a shepherd himself, his father was a shepherd. He later was known as the Shepherd King, wrote this psalm. And he was stating explicitly, the Lord is my shepherd. Not he was, but he is. And he's mine. He was making it very personal. Now, the beautiful relationship given to us repeatedly in Scripture of God and man is those of a father and his children, are those of a shepherd and his sheep. See, David spoke with a strong sense of pride and devotion and admiration. It was though he was saying, look at who my shepherd is. It's the Lord. He's my manager. He's my owner. He takes good care of me, and he is in control of my life. After all, David knew from firsthand experience that any lot in life of a sheep was going to be how well that shepherd took care of him. And so the Lord is my shepherd. That involves a one-on-one relationship. I shall not want. That is provision. What a positive statement to make. No doubt the main concept is that of not deficiency or that of lacking anything, of a good care and management. Someone that's satisfied with their care. The shepherd who took delight in his sheep would make sure his sheep were well cared for. He would provide them with nourishment, hay, wholesome grain, green grass, fresh water, shade, safety, and shelter from the storms. He would provide them with relief from wounds, bruises, disease, and parasites. In other words, he took good care of them, and all their needs were met. We too can say aloud, and we can boast, the Lord is my shepherd. I
shall not want. Oh, hallelujah. In Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And as I began to study this part of this poem, this thought just kept coming to me. Every time I turn around, he's making a way. Every time he's making a way, when there seems to be no way, he's making a way. And we can testify that every need we have, God will meet those needs. Just recently, a sister in the church was sharing with me this personal testimony. I want to share it with you. It was years ago. Her children were small. They had $51 to their name. They had another week to live on that. They were in service one night. A missionary was preaching, and he began to talk about college students and how they needed a cot and they needed a blanket. And for $25, that would cover the cost. And the Lord started dealing with her to give not $25, but $30, which would leave them very short. But she knew that God would supply all her needs, so she gave it in that offering. As soon as she got outside, there was someone that came running outside the doors of the church and hollered her name and said, hey, while offering was going forth, the Lord spoke to me and told me to bless you. It was $100 gift. Hallelujah. Is that how our God is? He supplies every need. And then the next day she went to get her mail, and in that mailbox was a check from someone else for $200. And she was telling me how amazing it was that God met that need ahead of time, having that individual to put that money in the mail ahead of time, knowing ahead of time that she was going to respond to giving. And that's just what God does. You cannot outgive God. Hallelujah. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This represents rest. The strange thing about sheep is that because of their makeup, it's almost impossible for them to be made to lie down and rest unless four requirements are met. There must be a definite sense of freedom from fear, tension, aggravation, and hunger. It is actually the shepherd who makes it possible for the sheep to lie down, to rest, to relax, to be content and quiet and flourishing. Nothing could quiet and put the sheep at ease as to see the presence of their shepherd in the field. And it's the same way with us. When we see our shepherd, when we feel our shepherd's presence, he will allow us to rest. There's just something about when it's a sudden, something that happens suddenly, it likes to provoke fear, panic, and terror of the unknown in our lives. And generally, it's the unknown or the unexpected that will keep us up during the night. It's when everything is quiet, we lay our heads down to rest, when all that will come up on our mind, and we'll just start thinking, how is this going to turn out? And all those fears will try to consume us. But God is in control of our lives, and he wants us to lie down. He wants us to have such sweet sleep. In 2 Timothy 1:7, the scripture says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The idea of a sound mind is that a mind that's at peace. It's a sense of ease in our lives. And if you're having troubling thoughts, if something's coming against you and trying to rob you of your sleep, I encourage you to stand on the word of God. Proverbs 3:24, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thou sleep shall be sweet. Psalm 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, makest me to dwell in safety. Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So go to the word of God. Just go to him if you're having trouble sleeping and resting because things are coming to your mind and fear and those things are coming against you. Just go to the word of God and let him give you sweet sleep. He leads me beside the still waters. That's peace, that's refreshment. The shepherd must find quiet pools of water because the sheep will not drink from a fast-flowing stream. Sheep cannot swim very well, and if thrown in a deep, fast-moving river, a sheep will probably not survive. And they have this wool, and that wool, when it gets in water, it weighs them down heavily, and they'll dry. They They'll drown. They will not survive. In fact, they will mostly starve from thirst before drinking from a fast-moving stream because of fear. It is the shepherd who knows where the best drinking places are. He's the one with much effort and industry has provided the watering places and those spots where he will lead his flock. Only Jesus can satisfy this thirst and this longing in our soul. He can only satisfy us. So many times we want to try this or try that to satisfy, and we're left just even more thirsty in life. But we can go to our good shepherd, and he will quench our thirst by drawing on him. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. David was telling us that God alone knows where the best, quiet, still, clean, pure water is to be found, and that he alone can satisfy his sheep and keep them fit and strong. And it's the same way with us. Life can be such a river. It can be fast flowing. It can be loud. But even in a river of life, it's that shepherd that comes and finds the best places. You see, a shepherd will go to that river and he'll gather up stones and divert some of the fast-moving waters into a small pool for the sheep to drink. He does the same for us. For you, this place may be in the middle of the night beside your bed. You may want to drink from that pool of living water. It may be in a song. It may be your song to get you through. It may be a sermon. If you find yourself in need of nourishment, rest, or peace of mind, I can promise you that God is preparing green pastures and still waters. He restoreth my soul, and this represents restoration and healing. It would be assumed that anyone in the good shepherd's care could never become so distressed in soul as to need restoration. But the fact remains, this does happen. And David, the beautiful author of this poem, knew that very well. In Psalm 42:11, he cried out, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." You see, a cast sheep or a cast down sheep in the old English shepherd's term for a sheep that has turned over on its back and it cannot get up by itself. It's really a pathetic sight. If you would look that up and look at the pictures, it's a sheep that's laid on its back, has its legs, all four legs, up in the air, and it's frantically trying to get up. It cannot get up. This happens sometimes with a female lamb, when she's expecting and she gets comfortable in the green grass and she'll just roll a certain way and there she goes. It could happen for even the other sheep if they're comfortable. If they've been feeding a lot and they get weighed down heavily, they'll roll over as well and they can't get up. It also happens to the sheep if they have too much wool and they're weighed down by their wool. They will roll over and they can't get up. And the terrible thing about this is if they're not found within 2 hours to 48 hours, they will die. They will literally die. So it takes that sheep that would come with his staff and just help roll them over. The world can weigh us down. And we can just be real. There's sometimes with pressures in life, things of life that can weigh us down. But it is that good shepherd that's there. And when we're hurting and when we're broken and when we're shattered, that good shepherd would come and he will lift us up to our feet. He will restore us. And just like David said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Yet I will praise him," because he understood that his hope was in God alone. And he understood that when he began to praise his God, the Bible says that God inhabits that praise and he will come to us. That shepherd will find us. If we will go to him, that hope, he will find us. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful that he has found us? I'm reminded of the magnificent story of the 99 sheep with one astray. There is a shepherd's deep concern, his agonizing search, his longing to find the missing one, his delight to not only restore it to his feet, but also to the flock as well as to himself. Because you see, a lot of time, sheep wander when they're hurt. That's when they wander off. And God wants to just go to where we are and give us restoration and give us healing. So if you're in that place tonight, I encourage you and challenge you to come to God, your hope, and cry out for help. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and that's guidance. My shepherd leads me down the right paths. There's no other class of livestock that requires more careful handling, more detailed direction than sheep. No doubt David had learned this firsthand from tough experience. If the flock was going to flourish and the owner's reputation was to be held in high esteem as a good manager, the sheep had to be constantly under his meticulous control and guidance. You see, sheep doesn't have a sense of direction, and they must be led. The same as a lot of times with us, we need to be led. I love this part in the verse. It says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We are led for his name's sake. Not our name's sake, his name's sake, and it's for his glory. So in our life, when the blessings of life are coming upon us and showering upon us, God gets the glory. It's his reputation. Everyone knows we belong to Jesus. His name is written on our lives. And how many times is it when our lives is flourishing and someone says, I don't know what you got, but I want it. I don't understand how you're so blessed. How are you so blessed? I want what you got, because it's God's reputation and it's his care that's upon our lives. Let's just thank him for that. Thank you, Lord, for your care. I thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon our life and you are caring for us. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. This is Isaiah 40 and 11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead those that give suck. What I love about this verse is this part here. He's going to lead the flock, so he's leading all the flock. And then what you have to know about a ewe sheep, sometimes a mother will give birth to more than one, and she just doesn't want to care for that little lamb. She'll reject it. Sometimes she's older in life. She just doesn't want to care for that little lamb, and she will also reject it. That good shepherd will take that little lamb, bottle feed it, nourish it, hold it up to his chest so it could hear his heartbeat. And once it's old enough, he will restore it back to the flock on its own. And that is precious to me. He's going to take care of our children. He will. Even I know this one here is about the rejecting of the baby, but God is going to take care of our children. And I also, what I love is it says he will gently lead those that give suck. And what just stood out to me when I was reading this verse is that mother that rejected her babies, God's mercy and his love still reached to them and allowed them to be led. If you are feeling like you've been rejected or discarded, you are not. You are loved. You are loved. You have a hope. I just want to speak directly to someone today. Your shepherd loves you, and he wants to hold you close to his heart. He wants you to hear his heartbeat, and he wants to nurture you back to health and lead you and guide you. John 10, 27 and 8, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's beautiful. We know his voice. We've been following him a long time. He didn't say my lambs. He said my sheep, the ones that's been following me, they know my voice. And then he says, and I know them. So God knows you. He knows your name. He knows what season in you right now. And he knows what you need in your life. So take courage. And then verse 28, and I will give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hands. What a hope. Doesn't matter what you're going through in this life. If you will continue on, keep your heartbeat towards that shepherd, you will have eternal life. And then we know that sheep wander. We spoke a little bit about that. There are times where we must be led because we can wander too. And a lot of times it's because he's leading us in paths that we really don't want to follow. The sheep really doesn't want to follow dark places. And that's where we're headed next in this message. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And that's protection. A lot of times, if it's left to us, we're not going to follow that path. It's dark. It's unknown. It's dangerous. But you see, these sheep have been with the shepherd for quite a while now. And they understand that they have to be led. They know his voice. And they know that their shepherd's going to take good care of them no matter what season of life they are in. In this verse, David turns to address the shepherd directly. The pronoun, the personal pronoun I and thou enter the conversation. He is no longer talking about his shepherd. He is talking to him. He is in a close, intimate contact with his shepherd. And during that whole year's journey, this is where he's very, very close. This is the time where he's very close to his shepherd. Early in the year, the flocks graze in the lowlands. But as summer comes, the shepherd leads his flock to the better grazing land on the mountains high above. In order to take the flock to the better land, he must lead them through the valley, which consists of threatening and treacherous ravines. Hidden in the shadows of this dark pathway are dangers such as poisonous snakes, wolves, predators, and so much more. But the presence of their shepherd dispels all the fear. We're going to go in some places that we don't want to walk into, but we're going to follow our shepherd. We're going to go in those places because we know our shepherd, and we know his presence is with us, and we know that he loves us, and he's going to dispel, he's going to get rid of all those things that would seek to devour us. You see, the valley is a low place. Have you ever been in a low place? Are you in a low place right now? We don't like that. We'd rather be on a mountaintop, wouldn't we? A mountaintop experience. We talk about that in the Christian life. And you would think that we could go from mountain to mountain to mountain, but it doesn't work that way. When sheep are led, they understand that in order to get to that mountain, they have to go through the valley to get to that mountain. I walk through the valley. I just keep walking. I'm walking. I'm not going to quit. Why? Because the good news about a valley is that a mountain is on its way. So if you're in a low place, if you're in a valley, you just take heart tonight. That mountain is just ahead. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. Eternity is still waiting for you one day. Keep walking and following your shepherd. In the Christian walk, times of suffering, pain, and trials of all kinds are usually known as the valley. It can be viewed as a dark, low place, but it is in the valley where we become closer to our shepherd. It's in the valley where we hear his voice so distinctly. It's in the valley where there are the purest waters. That's where the purest waters are found, is in that valley. And it's also in that valley where there is fresh green forage all along the way. I was watching a video on this, and although it looks like desert area by rocks and different places, there's just little sprouts of green foliage all along the way. And that's how it is in our life, though it might seem a dry area, a desert that we're walking through, all along the way, that shepherd is feeding us. It's in the valley where we feel tested, we feel tried, but we will walk through it victoriously. I was reading recently a survey which was taken with hundreds of people, and they were asked to identify the factors that were the most transformative in their spiritual growth. The number one response overwhelmingly involved the suffering and the pain. We don't like that. And really, if we get out of that valley, we're thankful for everything God did, but we don't want to walk through that again. But the beautiful thing is, and this just stood out to me in this part of the message right here, that in that valley, when he's taken them, and it's such a dangerous place, and there's predators on, you know, the valley, there's cliffs and mountains on both sides, and even though there's so many predators that would seek to devour, he's gently guiding them, and he's feeding them along the way. They are becoming fit and strong in this valley. That's amazing to me. So in our valleys, God is growing us. He's making us fit. He's making us strong, and we need to follow him, because we will come through it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Aren't you thankful that his rod and his staff comforts us? Oh, that's comfort. Our Lord comforts us with his protection, like we just talked about. And the shepherd not only dispels our fear by his presence, he also comforts us with his protection. Thy rod and thy staff symbolize the shepherd's power and his authority. The sheep, when they're walking, they see that those weapons in his hand. That gives them an assurance that everything is going to be okay. You see, the rod was usually a short, heavy club-like weapon. And the shepherds got so good with that that they could throw that thing and just kill a predator, just like David did when he threw that stone at Goliath. That's what a shepherd can do. And then a staff is a long and thinner, it's long and thinner with a crook or a hook at the end of it. And that kind of guides the sheep back. If they're in the ravine walking and they kind of fall, he can guide them back. He also can pull them out of the thicket. So that's also helpful to them. The rod is symbolic of the word of God. And the staff is symbolic of the Spirit of God. So, Lord, your word is my defense. It's a weapon for me. And when I go through things and I go through fears, I can stand on the word in God and say, you have not given me the spirit of fear, but you've given me power and love and a sound mind. And when I feel like I'm not going to make it, I just can't make it, oh, the word of God will come to me, and he'll encourage me and he'll strengthen me. And then that staff is a symbol of his spirit. Oh, God, your presence, your spirit, it just makes everything okay. When it seems so dark and your spirit, your presence comes, Lord, it's as though I can see a light in that dark place. Let's just thank him for that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. God, in these times, Lord, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. You give me comfort, Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies, and that satisfaction. It appears that David was referring to a table that was actually the entire summer range. Though the tablelands may have been remote and hard to reach, the energetic sheep owner, he takes the time and he takes the trouble to get that tableland ready for the sheep, his flock. The shepherd goes ahead and prepares it for the sheep several times before they arrive. He distributes salts and minerals ahead of time for the sheep's benefit. He decides ahead of time where his camps are going to be located. He checks to see if there's poisonous weeds, because some of those flowers are pretty, and if the sheep eat them, they're going to die immediately. He keeps his eye out for predators. He will hunt them down, trap them, so his flock can rest at peace. Does that sound like someone else we know? Our good shepherd prepares our way. You see, sometimes, again, it's hard when you get that sudden news, and I know what I'm talking about. A dark place, you get that sudden news. But we know our shepherd. Our trust is in our shepherd. We know he's going to take good care of us. So what does he do? He goes and he takes care of anything that would seek to devour us again. He prepares our way. And this just came to me again as I'm reading this. I shared it with my husband tonight. We can feast even in the presence of our enemies. We can enjoy life no matter what may be coming against us. When those enemies are around, that sickness, those things, opposition, things that would seek, you know, to look in at, on us, Lord, while we're on that tableland, we can feast. Why? Because our shepherd has gone before us. He has it all in control. And thou anointest my head with oil. And oh, how we need the anointing. Don't we need the anointing? Here we find the sheep setting on high meadows where they are growing in the summer, enjoying the summer. Clear springs, fresh tender forage, close contact with the shepherd. And suddenly we find the sheep being annoyed by flies. And these flies are aggravating. All types of flies. They'll get in their nostrils, their ears, and lay eggs. And the sheep will bang their head up against trees or different hard places. They will bang their head and could die because of it. So the shepherd understands he has to have an antidote to do something for his sheep. At the very first sign of flies, the shepherd will apply olive oil to their heads. What an incredible transformation this would make among the sheep. Once the oil had been applied to the sheep's head, there was an immediate change in their behavior. Gone was the aggravation. Gone was the frenzy. Gone was the restlessness. Instead, the sheep would lie down in peaceful contentment. We sometimes find ourselves in a beautiful time, and all of a sudden, we face flies, don't we? Things that are just going to agitate and aggravate and try to harm us and just get us in a frenzy. But we, too, need the oil of the Spirit. What I love about this is, that shepherd applies that oil to the sheep's head. Sometimes he'll do it once, twice, three times application a day. He'll do that to help them. And the sheep know that as soon as they see that oil, they would walk up to the shepherd and they'll just bow their head down because they want that oil poured. They know that that's going to be helpful. That's how it is in our life. At the very first sign that we understand we're being agitated or aggravated by life, we need to go to our shepherd and we need to bow our head and allow him to pour the oil of the Spirit upon our heads, because everything's going to be okay when he anoints us with his presence and his Spirit. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. We read in the first verse, I shall not want. It's beautiful to understand that we do not lack it. That's the very beginning of this poem. I shall not want. It's as though our cup is filled to the brim. But now we've been serving the Lord a little bit. This psalm is going on a little bit deeper here. And it says, what does it say? Our cup runneth over. Now there's an overflow. Our cup is running over. The more you follow the shepherd, your provision will turn into an overflow. The longer you serve him and love him, those blessings upon your life are going to overflow, and they're going to overflow to others that you come in contact with as well. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's confidence. All the days of my life is the longer I'm on this journey of life and the longer I go and I look back, all behind me, there's goodness. There's mercy. It's following me. Oh, aren't you thankful for the goodness and the mercy of your shepherd? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's union. Oh, I'm going to dwell in the house. Now, David wasn't talking about a sanctuary or a place, the temple that he could live in. That wasn't possible that he could just stay right there. He was talking about the presence of the Lord. Aren't you thankful that you can dwell in the house of the Lord? We're missing being all together here, but we understand that right now, while we have to follow the rules, we can enter into the presence of the Lord in our homes, in our cars, on our jobs, everywhere. We can enter into the presence of the Lord. And then it says forever. That's eternity. Not just now, but when we pass on from this life. I was thinking about this today, and I'll share this in closing. When David was talking about this, the shadow of darkness, if you study it out, that shadow, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's a, when you're in the valley, the sun goes down and those mountains create a shadow of darkness that appears a little bit sooner. And we know that anytime there's a shadow, there's light. And I was just thinking, and a lot of times that will refer to the death of this life. And I remember, I just remember when my dad was passing away. It was just on my mind this week. And he was in like a coma state. He had not responded. His eyes were kind of set, and he just didn't respond for days. And right at the end of his life, where my dad had just laid quiet and still, at the time where that angel came for him, and we were all gathered in that room at the hospice house, and he pointed his hand out like, "Do you see what I see? Even in the time of darkness, when I'm passing through this life into that other life, there's a light that's there, and I'm not gonna fear because of eternity. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm headed." Oh yes, let's just worship God and thank Him for that promise. Hallelujah.
Thank you, O Lord. I thank you, O Lord. I thank you, O Lord. Hallelujah. I said, church, go ahead and give thanks to the shepherd. Lord, I thank you for talking to us tonight. Thank you, good shepherd, for giving us your voice. Oh, Lord, and we know your voice. Hallelujah. We know your voice when we hear it, and we have heard it tonight. And I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for it. I want to thank you for it. Hallelujah. 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 The shepherd wanted to talk to us tonight, and he did. And sometimes we can hear that, some have experienced the audible voice of the Lord, and sometimes in your prayer you get the thought impressions, but then sometimes through the preaching, the ministering, the teaching of his word, the shepherd talks to us. And there were so many points that there was a word from the shepherd about our sleep, God wanting to give us peace and rest, and about a mountain that's ahead of us when we're in a valley. Just keep walking. And then that verse, David said, I know it's going to be with me. I know mercy and goodness are going to be with me all the days. We don't know what the days hold, but we know that goodness and mercy are going to be in those days. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow, but yes, we do. We know goodness is going to be tomorrow. We know mercy is going to be tomorrow, because the Lord is going to be with us, and He measures that goodness and mercy according to our needs. He is the Good Shepherd, and I know that you have experienced that so much.